Thank you. Thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. Open our minds and our hearts that we may be able, Lord, to hear from you, that we may be able to receive from you, Lord, whatever we need. We just know, Lord, that your word is a light unto our path, Lord, and guide us into your ways. So, Lord, as we come to your word, Lord, quicken our mind and our hearts, Lord, to receive it, and to appropriate everything that you have for us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been looking at the church that Jesus did. That Jesus said, you know, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. So now we want to just go a bit more into that, to see some of the implications, some of the meaning, some of the things that are, you know, that we can receive from that word. You know, the things that we started to look at, okay, is the realization of the time we are in. Understanding that these are times in which God is doing things in preparation for something new that he's going to do. And, you know, one of the last scriptures that I was reading last week was really from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which is, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue." So by... And this is really important to understand. And the things I was stressing last week is the fact is that he has given those things to us already. We don't have to go and beg God to give all things to us because they are given. What we have to do is to accept them, appropriate them, and start living in that space, in that dimension, in that understanding, so that we come to experience that, because this is going to be the basis of our beliefs. See, what we believe according to your faith is done unto you. If you are there asking God for things that he already given you, you are going to be telling him that he didn't do what he said he had done. So really your position is a position of really unbelief rather than belief. Even if your intentions are good, but in reality what you are doing is, I don't have it. When instead, what has to happen, that is the position of our heart has to become, yes, thank you. I'm moving on from that. I'm believing what you have done. I'm believing what your promises says. And I'm going to move according to what you said you have given to us or to me. This applies to everybody. We had to stand on that position, really, to be able to appropriate what God has done for us. Remember, receiving, the word receiving from in the Bible is lambano. You know, when lambano means to take hold, grasp on what God has done already. So we have a part to play in receiving the things that God has done. And we have to understand that the position we take makes a difference in the experience we are going to have. And so that's the starting point. You see, this is where we start. We have to start. You see, when Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail," this is another of those statements that instead of really wondering and start asking God to do the things he already done, you know, we had to standing on that position and start appropriating what is made available to us. One of the things that is always coming short, you know, Jesus said one thing, you know, concerning the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, important scripture that give us to us is in Matthew 22:29, said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture and the power of God." You know, the idea of that word knowing is not generally what the knowing is in Greek. Generally, you know, it's agnosko, is eidō, which eidō means to see, to perceive. So when we do not perceive properly God's word, the scriptures, we do not perceive properly God's power, then we are going to fall into error. We are going to be coming short of what God has already done. And when instead we are open to the Spirit of God, open to what He said in His Word, then we are going to experience the things that He said we would. There is always that difference between the things that we actually experience and the things that the Word says. They should not be so. And God wants us to move into this, especially in the times we are in. You see, realizing that the time we are in are the time when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to the church that He made, not the church that man has made. Okay, and that church that man has made is coming apart. It's falling, you know, you see the statistics is continually, you know, the number of attendance, the number of people that actually believe, even the minister that believe in the word and what the word says is decreasing. And the statistic could be very depressing. But we don't need to be depressed about the whole thing because we know that really what we are looking at is the wrong thing. We should be looking at God, the church that God is making, not the church that we have made, that man has made. And so when we realize that, and we realize that actually, you know, what He said, it was going to come to pass, then we had to start looking beyond the surface and start to see what really God is doing these days. And the day is coming and is approaching more and more, so that this difference, this, if you want, falling away, that was predicted anyway, you know, is becoming more evident, and it's not that it's, you know, and it's affecting everything that goes around. When we realize that, and we start connecting with what God is doing today, it's not a question of being depressed anymore, it's a question of being excited. Because you can see that God's power is operating in a way that maybe has never been so evident before. Now, one of the things that the world or people many times feel about the end times is they get concerned and they get afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of for us. We can see, for example, in the past, the way God dealt with His people. And I don't want to go into some of the things, but really, if, you know, for example, you look 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, talking about what says there, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be," what? "Preserved, blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you know, the times is that for His coming is coming, it is getting closer. But there is a promise here that we are going to be not just spiritually, it's talking about the spirit, body, and soul be preserved, blameless. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there is a promise of preservation for us so that we don't need to fear and we don't need to be afraid. Now, this is not something new. It's not something different. It's something that, you know, it's been the same thing in the past as well. If you remember, to give you some example, is, for example, when Lot went in Sodom and lived there. And that was a corrupt society, and God intervened there. And he really, you know, if you remember the way what God said, you know, "But just, you know, leave me alone. Just, I want to stay here." And God instead sent angels to him to encouragement, to motivate them, and to just say, get out of here because something is going to happen. Okay, that protection was there because he was somebody that remained with God, even if it was in an environment, even if in a way benefited from the environment that was at that time. You know, at the beginning of Christianity, it happened the same thing. You know, when the Roman armies invaded Israel, many of the Christians had left already because they'd been persecuted by the Jews. So many of them were protected because they took a position for God. I believe that, you know, there may be persecution coming for believers. But the fact is that it doesn't matter. That sometimes clean up the waters. That sometimes changes things. You know, who really means business is going to mean business. Okay? But one of the results that we can believe that we are also, you know, the one that stand by him. You know, the word says that when we stand for, you know, when we stand for him, he stands for us. So, you know, one of the things we can expect is that God is going to protect us in any dimension. Because, you know, what I was reading from Thessalonians says, you know, in soul, body, soul, and spirit, there's going to be a shield of protection for the people that really are going to take a place for God. And this is the manifestation, okay, of the power of God that is going to take place in the last days. See, it's going to become more and more evident. It's not going to be any more shade. The degree of shade is going to be black or white. What are you sitting? Which side of the fence are you going to be taking? But the fact is, when you take the right place, you know that there is the protection that comes from God associated with that. So these are some of the things where we can expect. See, we can expect the power of God to be manifested in our behalf to keep us. But there is a part of that scripture that I want to say, you know, says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. You see, the thing is being sanctified by God, it doesn't happen just because God is doing something. The sanctification takes place when we separate, you see, separate or sanctify is the same thing. When we separate ourselves from the world. There is a separation process that has to be taking place at the spiritual level within us. There is a position that we have to take so that our heart is protected from these other things. See, guard your heart with all diligence, and out of it come the issues of life. So we had to take a position. It's not just a question that God sometimes when comes there and anoint us and do all the things by himself. There is a part we play all the time for God to move in our behalf. And one of the things that we had to do is to make sure that our heart is in the right direction. That we are protecting our heart from the wrong ideas and influences and thoughts and other things that surround us that will affect the way we feel and the way we see about God. So, yes, it's going to be exciting, but we have a part we play for this to be manifested. Now, one of the things that the Bible talks about this as well is, you know, the Great Commission, because this has to do all with what we have been, you know, the whole topic is about that, implementing what God says in the last day, you know. And, you know, if you go there and we see the way the Great Commission has been implemented through the centuries, we can see how far we have gone from actually the way that was spoken at the beginning. So reading again that, because we read it before, but we're just going to through that. You know, Matthew 28, 18 and following. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you unto the end of the age. You know, one of the first things it says is that, you know, the our going out is not going out according to man's ideas or according to man's power or authority. It's through his authority and power, which is whole authority and whole power. So we see, it's not God, Jesus has commanded us to do something out of his own authority. And there is not any authority greater than his authority in the whole world. So when we start realizing that the authority that we have, we don't have to be apologetic about our position. We have his authority. And we can go the same way as he went, because he has passed that over to us. But we have to realize what we have to be able to operate that way. If you do not realize what we have, you don't know the authority that you have, the difference. I mean, if you, you know, talking about authority in the world, you know, if you are a policeman, you are not going there, you know, you get the authority behind you of the government. You go out, you're not there apologetic about, you know, you tell people what to do. Have you ever been in that situation? Well, you know, because why? Why can't he do that? Because he knows that the authority that he has to carry out and implement it. He's sent to do that job with that authority. And you have to respond to that. Well, his authority is nothing compared to the authority that we have in Christ. When we come to realize the authority, that doesn't mean that we go around bossing people. This is completely the opposite. But the point is that we have authority spiritually to operate and realize that this is authority that we are operating on, is not our own. So, the way we should feel about ourselves, the way we should see ourselves, the way we should respond to the way people can, you know, if they do not understand our authority, it just doesn't really matter. What counts is what you have. Now you can start from there. And then, you know, you go out in his name. You see, you need, what does it mean to go out in his name? We're just going out with his authority. And then it says, go and make disciples of all nations. You see, what church has been doing for many, many centuries is as making people go to church, which is a very different thing from making disciples. We have to realize that really the Great Commission is not to get people to go to church. Is to make disciples of him. And if we would make disciples of him, the church would be strong. Because it would be people following him, not just thinking that they are Christian because they go to church on Sunday morning. So the idea is that if we want to respond to the commandment or the great commission that God Jesus has given us, we had to start making disciples. That means people that are following Jesus. And it's not a question of doing it on Sunday morning, or not a question of doing it for a little course that they take on basic Christianity and they think that's discipleship. Discipleship is a commitment. Life commitment to the transformation that Jesus was going to do on our heart to make us like him. And we had to be wanting that more than anything else, because this is the only way it's going to happen. You see, what my wife was sharing before about, you know, when we love other things more than the Father, these things are going to distract us and are going to weaken our witness, our power, our fellowship with God. See, what makes all the difference is if we operate like Jesus operated, we are going to be in fellowship with the Father. So that fellowship with the Father is important for us to be able to have that authority that Jesus had. We had to have that fellowship. And whenever our attraction, our love, our desires for other things become more than our love and for to do what he calls us to do, well, automatically that fellowship is reduced. And we cannot experience that authority anymore. So this is really, you know, when we're talking about making disciples, you know, the words that come after, you know, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you, really is an important component, because this is what makes a disciple. Is someone that does and follow Jesus' direction. You know, and often, you know, the second part there that talks about baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as I shared last week as well, you know, often is interpreted just in a question of immersing somebody in the water, when instead, here he's talking about, I believe, much more. He's immersing in the authority that the Godhead has. And that baptism becomes nothing else than a physical evidence or manifestation of the process that one is moving into that immersion into God. Okay. You know, when we start moving from this place, then, you know, John 14 there, when it's from 12 to 14, says, you know, becomes the natural outcome. Jesus said there, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is categorical. It's not just something that may be. And he's not talking about just some special person. He's talking about anyone that believes in him. The believing in him makes all the difference. That means believing in what he said, believing in the promises he gave us, believing in what he said we should experience, believing in the greater works that he does, he will do, because he goes to the Father. You know, I heard so many different stories about why that doesn't happen. To me, there is only one, because we don't believe it. According to your faith, is done unto you. If we stop finding excuses why this shouldn't be happening, and we start believing that actually God wants to do these things, and the only thing that is hindering him is not him or not anybody else but ourselves, then we are going to be open for his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to work through us and to be able to perform the things that he said he would, because it's the same Holy Spirit that worked in Jesus that works in us. Only he was a bit more open to him. It's the same Holy Spirit. You see, and this is why at the beginning, you see, this is why at the way the church started when the Holy Spirit came on people. You know, Jesus, when he left, he didn't leave us powerless, he left us powerful. This is what he said at the beginning. Just wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come of you. Then you shall have the power to be my witnesses. See, he didn't leave a church that is weak. He leave a church, left a church that is powerful because it is not based on the reasoning or the philosophies or the ideas of man. It is based on the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the believer. This is what enables us to do the work that he's called us to do. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, either we take what he said as the truth, or we don't. And then you can go and play on the field like the people out there. That's the bottom line. You know, this is you know, either it's true, either his promises are true, or they aren't. And if they aren't, then we're wasting our time. The thing is you know, that when you start actually believing that God works the same way that he promised, then you start experiencing that that's the case. This is why, you know, we see miracles every week here. And it just doesn't happen overnight. It happens that you start believing and you start experiencing. And the more you experience, the more you can believe, because it's your belief system that makes all the difference. Okay. So, you know, the old New Testament, especially the epistles, which in which, you know, essentially it's as God is dealing with the church, point out to these things. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of in the saints, in what is exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." I mean, this is the power that is within us. And this is what we can expect. So, but the fact is, how are we going to be opening ourselves up to that reality? See, this is where we come short, because we are basing ourselves on our experiences. We want to believe and agree with some theological position, but that doesn't do any good. What makes the difference is the position of our heart. And the position of our heart comes as a result of us experiencing the power of God. So this is why we had to protect our heart with all diligence, to make sure that there is no any other thoughts or idea or infiltration of things to decrease our ability to believe in what the Word says. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. I mean, you know, I shared some time ago, I was reading this on this forum of pastors, you know, and one of the things that they were saying, you know, said, "Well, you know, we're going around, we found a place where there are miracles." Well, you're going to the wrong place. I mean, this is in complete contradiction with what the Word of God says. Now, I can be radical about these things, but the fact is that either the Word of God is true or not. If they don't experience that, that means, you know, they don't believe it. That's all. Because the basis of receiving something is to believe it first. Believe it in your heart. Accepting it to start with. And then, you know, bring yourself to the place where you're fully persuaded of that reality. You know, this is what Abraham had to do. That's what everyone else, in the faith, needed to do. That's what we have to do as well. And unless we cooperate with God to accept, to start with, some of the word, some of the truth, and then allow that truth to become a reality to us, then we are not going to experience it. And it's not that God doesn't want to, it's that we are not playing our part. See, the Bible says we are co-workers with God. God does his part. Actually, God has done his part. But we had to do our part now. And when we do our part, then the things that God said would happen will happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, this is exciting if you want to know. You know, this is, in the end days, you're going to have the manifestation of the sons of God. I read the scripture from Romans chapter 8. You know, and this is really what I believe is taking place more and more in these days. There's going to be more and more of an evidence of the power of God in some people, and more of an evidence of falling away on some others. Now, the key, what is going to make the difference is what Jesus said and what was prophesied in the Old Testament and what is also, spoken by Jesus in the New Testament, which is the prophecy from Joel chapter 2. Okay. If you want to, let me go there a moment. This prophecy was taken up on the day of Pentecost, later on by Peter. But really was telling at that time, let me go there a moment. Chapter 2, verse 28. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. You know, it appears that, when you talk about all flesh, one says, everybody's going to get the Holy Spirit. That's not really what it's saying. You see, one of the ideas that the Jews had, that they were special. They were separated. They only got, God was always dealing with them. When he was saying the all flesh, God is trying to point out that it's going to be not a question of the Jews only. It's a question for all nations. It's not going to be limited to one specific race. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Well, this is the result, evidently, of the falling of the Holy Spirit. And also my maidenservant, I will pour out my spirit on those days. And I will show wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And this, the point is, this is prophecy. So there is a big span of time that is taken care of. And there are things that have taken place already. The Holy Spirit came down when Jesus went up and the church started. But then, some of the things didn't happen yet. So we are going to see it coming to pass in the future. But here it says, you know, let me continue here. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come together whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now here is again... the power of God manifested in setting people free. When you talk about Mount Zion in Jerusalem, here, you know, you can look at it in the Old Testament way, you can do it in the New Testament way. And so you can take it spiritually, or you can take it physically. Okay. I'm not going to go into all that at the moment, but the fact is that you know, the people that call on God's name are going to find deliverance, are going to find freedom. And the reason for that, the source for that, is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to set people free. It's the manifestation of the power of God that is going to convince people about God's presence. That's what Jesus said from the very beginning. This is what we should expect. Just wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit has come of you, then you will be able to be my witnesses. So it's that power that is working in us that is going to make the difference. It's that power that is going to be operating in the church. Not just somebody. The people do believe. You know, when God, when Jesus, you know, for example, said that you shall have power and, you know, and you shall be my witnesses. You know, if you go, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, says, you know, that your faith shall not be based on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. See, this is what makes the difference. This is what produces faith in people. Now, it's more than just simply have somebody, you know, to do prayer and somebody get healed. Praise the Lord. Now, what I wanted to emphasize here is the fact that the time that we are in, this is actually going to be more and more evident. And it's going to be more and more operating in the church to enable the church to overcome the things of the world, to bring people to Him. This is what's going to make the difference. You know, and later on, you know, when for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, what did Paul talk about? Talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church. Because let me go there a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul saying here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You see, why is he saying something like that? It's because it's important to have understanding. Everything that has to do with the spiritual thing, we need to spiritually discern properly. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Our discernment. You see what the scripture I mentioned to you before. They don't know the scripture, not the power of God. See, unless we understand properly, you know, the knowing there is idol, which really to understand, to see, to perceive properly the scriptures. And here is Paul is telling us that we need to understand and perceive properly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because when we understand properly the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they're starting to operate in us in the way they should, producing the results that they supposed to do. Now, see, here says, verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away by dumb idols, however were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, no one can say that the Lord, that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I remember, you know, in the early charismatic movement, you know, the way this was interpreted, you know, to find out if they had the Spirit of God, somebody says, you know, well, you say that Jesus is Lord. And if they say that Jesus is Lord, but, you know, they thought that that meant it was an indication that the Holy Spirit was in them. This is complete nonsense. This is not what it's saying. If you read really carefully through the word that they're saying there, he's saying that nobody can really confess the fact that they believe that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit has produced that in them. It's not a little test that you do to make sure to figure out somebody's, you know, it's ridiculous. But see, that's the type of mistakes, that's the type of ideas that instead of helping people, damage people. You know, sometimes people take things so literally that they don't make any sense anymore. And then goes on explaining that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and a difference of ministry by the same Lord. There are differences of activities by the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit for all. So the idea is, you know, that what God wants to do, the operation of the Holy Spirit, is to help the church, help the believers to be able to benefit from what God is doing. He wants to help his people. He wants to empower his people. He wants to minister to them. He wants to set them free. And when we start to connect with him and start operating in that dimension, then we are going to see more and more a manifestation of freedom coming to the people of God. And you know, I could read all the scriptures there, but we are running out of time. The idea is simple. Jesus left a church that is powerful because the church is powerful because the Holy Spirit is operating in the church and is manifesting his power through the gifts that are operating in the people in the church. That one makes the difference. When you have a word of knowledge, when you have a word, you know, a prophecy, when you have something that touches people's life, they are transformed by it. But if you try to just reason them up with that, it is not going to work. See, it's not man's philosophies or not man's psychology that is going to produce the change in people. Is the power of God that touches their heart, and when they are touched, they are not the same anymore. Now, this is just the beginning. I mean, God gave us gifts. The Holy Spirit came to us. We have, if we are born again and you are open up to the Spirit of God, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. With the manifestation of the gifts in your life. You had to learn to operate in them because our flesh is going to come in the way. But that doesn't matter. You had to learn somewhere. And you have to open up yourself to the Holy Spirit so that he can teach you. He's the one that does the teaching. And it works together with you and the others around you. But you also give more than that. You see, we need to understand how God's power is going to be manifested in the church. How is it going to, how the Holy Spirit is going to be operating individually and collectively in us. When we start understanding that and operating at that level, the church is going to be effective. Doesn't mean everybody is going to like it. Because that's going to be another element for people to and to yield to God, to allow its transformation to take place. All right. For today, I think we're running out of time, but we'll continue next week to see the implication and to see some other elements, some other things that Jesus left us that are the evidence, you know, it's his instruction. See, when we start playing church according to men's ideas, church is going to be weak. When we start doing church the way Jesus designed it and made it and built it up, then the church is going to be strong. And so, how do you do that? You go back to the scriptures. You see what he said about how we had to operate, and you learn to operate that way. You start believing it, you start accepting it, you start, as a result, experiencing it. Okay, so we close for today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you that, Lord, you didn't leave us orphan, but you left us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower, to minister to us, to comfort us, and to enable us to overcome. We just thank you for that. We, Lord, know that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do the work you called us to do. And Lord, that we just, Lord, are going to allow you to do that in our lives. We just praise you and thank you. For we know that when you said it is finished, it was finished. And Lord, we believe that what you have done is the thing that makes all the difference in our lives. That through what you have done, Lord, we have victory today. And we can stand on the victory. In Jesus' name. Amen.